want to say I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord with y'all tonight. Amen. Amen. It has been a little while since we have been here. It's not been on purpose. I believe the last time we were here was back in March, I want to say. And we were here for communion. And that's the last time that I remember being here. And I appreciate being able to be back here with y'all. Amen. I've missed this church. Amen. This church has been a help to us throughout the years. Believe it or not, it was at a meeting at this church years ago that me and Brother Israel got hooked up. And I've known him for years, but it was at that meeting that he said, "Why don't you come and visit me?" Or he said, "If you ever want to come and visit, come on." And the rest is history. We ended up moving up there and being youth pastors for the past couple of years. And so I'm thankful to be back here at this church. Amen. It has been a busy year this past year, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful, amen, for the services that we have had, for the doors that God has opened. Amen. But most of all, I'm thankful for services like we had this morning. Amen. Where the Spirit of God comes and He deals with His people. Amen. How many people understand that not any one of us have arrived? And whenever a holy God comes, speaks to His people, man, it drives me to my knees. I was telling Brother Ryan earlier today after service, I told him, I said, this is the second service that we have been to where the Spirit of God was here, and there was a sobering message that was given, one of check yourself, make sure things are right. The other Wednesday night, we closed that revival in North Carolina, and while we were there, there was a message in tongues and interpretation, and that he said, "I'm beginning to drive a wedge, hear me tonight." So I'm beginning to drive a wedge. And essentially he went on to say how there'll be some on the right side and some on the wrong side. And he said, once the wedge is driven, it's driven. I don't want to be on the wrong side, friend. Hey, I'd rather be embarrassed coming and praying, getting a hold of God here on this earth than be embarrassed on that day. Amen. Amen. And so to that I say, why don't we just get a hold of God? Amen. My wife said it just a couple minutes ago. She said, "I want 2023 to be a great year." She was talking about it. And to be honest with you, I want 2023 for me anyway. I want 2023 to be a year of consecration where I completely set myself aside. Not for the glory of others, not for people to say, "Oh, look at him," but simply because I want to be pleasing in the sight of God. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost, church. To be pleasing in the sight of God. Amen. Again, I want to say I'm thankful for this opportunity that we have to be able to minister here. We intended on making it up here just to pass through because we knew it's been a little while. I believe back in October, beginning of October, if I have that right. And could be wrong on that. That's okay. My wife told me today, she said, "You were wrong twice." She said, "Strike three, you're out." And I said, "Okay." So that might have been strike three. We'll have to check with the refs after church, all right? It was the time the hurricane hit Florida and came up through. Was that October? Yes. Yeah? Okay. Yes. I was right. No, I'm just kidding. We were planning on coming here. And then when I heard that the hurricane was going to essentially deteriorate and come up the coast, where we were in North Carolina, and we were about an hour and a half from the coast, and the winds were sustained 30 mile an hour. And so I started looking up the weather here and seeing it was going to be 50 mile an hour winds, and I was like, that's not really good for a camper. So we went all over to the mountains, tried to get away from the storm. Amen. But I'm thankful for this opportunity that we have to be here tonight. Amen. And I'm so glad to see your smiling faces. Amen. And I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us in this service. Amen. I believe the Lord has laid a message on my heart for tonight. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a very simple thought, very simple message. But to be honest, at the same time, I do believe that as Christians, we lose simplicity as we go. God is complex, but at the same time, God is simple. Amen. And to that, what I mean by that, not in a disrespectful way by any means, but he is so simple that even a 6, 7, 8-year-old can understand the gospel. And there's also simple things that us as Christians forget as we go throughout this walk with God through various things. And it happens. It happens to every one of us. But this message, I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart for tonight. I'm going to title it Success in the Storm. I wrestled with it. I was thinking about surviving the storm or success in the storm. And how many people understand that anybody can just survive a storm? Come on now. Anybody can just survive a storm. Amen. There are plenty of people who have survived storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, things of that nature that have came through. They survived. Amen. But at the same time, how many people understand that it's a difference to have success in the storm? Amen. Success in the storm. If you have your Bibles, let's open up to the book of John, chapter 14. The book of John, chapter 14, we're going to be reading verse 1, just that scripture there. Book of John, chapter 14, and verse 1. Amen. If you got it, those that are able, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. John, chapter 14, and verse 1. Amen. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Can we read that again? "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Simple, very simple. But I believe when Jesus is speaking here, he gives us everything that we need to have success in our storms. Amen. You're going to help me preach tonight? Amen. I sure pray that you do. Amen. Stretch your hand this way. Ask the Lord to help and anoint in this place. Everybody praying together. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. We're so thankful, Lord, for your mercy and your grace, God, your compassion on us. God, we come to the time of preaching where the word of God is to be opened up and expounded.
In the entrance of your word,
God, we ask you, Lord, if you would, to have your way in this service. Help every heart.
Let the word of life enter into our hearts and let us receive it with ready minds.
Take your word and apply it to our lives. Help us, O God, to be successful.
God, I pray that you help us to not only be hearers, but doers of your word.
Really,
we'll
let you move on us.
Amen.
We'll be sure to give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. One thing that I appreciate about the Word of God is that it does not matter what facet of life you're going through. You can take it and always apply it to your life. So you may not be going through a storm right now, but you can surely take the Word of God and apply it to your life. That way, when you do go through a storm, you're saying, I am equipped for what I'm about to face. Amen. At the same time, when we read the Word of God, it is for us right now in this day and hour in which we are living in. Amen. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Such comforting words out of the mouth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This discourse is a continuation from the previous chapter. And in the previous chapter, chapter 13, there is the announcement of one of them that was going to betray Jesus. Jesus tells them, the one who I give sup after I have dipped it is the one who will betray me. And we all know the story that he will dip sop with Judas Iscariot. He will then turn to Peter and tell him, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Judas held the bag. He was their treasurer, a referee on all practical subjects and details. And he had turned against the Lord, and now he has 30 pieces of silver added to his bag. Peter, their spokesman, their rock of strength, their most prominent and their boldest brother, the senior of the group, so to say. And aside from John, the most beloved and trusted by the master, was just told that he's going to commit a horrible sin by denying Jesus Christ. The disciples, seeing and hearing everything that is going on, Jesus turns to them and wants nothing more than peace for their minds and their hearts. And so he understands what they're going through. He understands the news in which they have just received. And he wants nothing more than peace and joy for their hearts. And so he turns to them and he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. The way that this is worded is not a suggestive comment as to saying, since you believe in God, you can believe also in me, like he's trying to persuade the disciples. But it is more of an instructive manner. He's saying, I know what's going on. I know what you're facing. I know the news in which you have just received. I understand that it is not sitting well in your heart, but you keep believing in God. Don't let your faith waver. Don't you let down on the things that you believe in. Keep your faith in God. Amen. And since you believe in God, believe in me also. You've been there through the times that I have performed mighty miracles. Believe in me also. You were there when I fed the 5,000. You were there when I healed Jairus' daughter. You were there when I called Lazarus out of the tomb. Believe in me also. Amen. And so in understanding what they have gone through, in understanding the storm in which they have entered into, amen, Jesus wants nothing more than peace for their minds. And so he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You keep believing in God and also believe in me. Amen. And so let's talk about this just for a little while. Friend, I would venture to say that the disciples have entered into a pretty serious storm. Judas, who has been the trusted one with the financial stake of the disciples, has forsaken that trust and betrayed Jesus. Peter, the one who declared Jesus the Son of the living God, and Jesus would look at him and say, upon this statement, I will build my church. He is told that he's going to deny Jesus, their master, the one that they have been following for the past 3.5 roughly years, as his time is coming to an end here on this earth, and everything that they have believed in and everything that they have built their lives on is being shaken as they enter into this storm. Amen. And I don't know about you, friend, but there's been times in my own life where I have faced some very serious storms. There's been times, amen, I'm not talking about small things. I'm not talking about you having a flat tire or running out of fuel on the highway. I'm talking about storms that it seemed as if everything was falling apart in my life. It was one bad news after another. Amen. I'm talking about storms. Storms that make men cry at their bedside at night. Amen. Storms that keep women up at night as they're worried and frantic about what they're going to do. Amen. Storms. Amen. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is there anybody in this place that would be willing to be honest and say, Brother Austin, there's been a time or two in my life where I have faced some storms. There's been some time in my life where I've gone through hardship. There's been times in my life where it seemed as if the sky was turning gray. Amen. Understand, friend. There's been times in my own life where I have faced some serious storms. Has there ever been times in your life where you felt the winds change, where dark clouds start to settle in, and you look up just to have rain start to fall on your face, and you see lightning flashing, and you feel the rumble of thunder down in your chest. Amen. I'm talking about going through a storm. Has anybody ever been there? Wave at me, friend. Have you ever gone through a hard time and you've seen the storm coming? Amen. You see that lightning flashing and you look up, and about that time the rain starts to fall on your face. Amen. I would be confident to say
that most of us have been in a storm or two in our lives. But Jesus gives us some simple instruction on how to be successful in the storms that we're going through. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe in me also. Amen. Such simple instruction. But at the same time, for some reason, as soon as the storm comes and we hear the thunder roll and we see the lightning flash, all of a sudden we forget it all. But in all reality, friend, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You keep believing in God regardless of what's going on, regardless of the news that you've received, regardless of how bad the situation is in your life. You keep faith in God. You keep believing in God. Don't give up now. Now's not the time to give up, but you keep believing in God. And understand, friend, you can believe in him also. You can believe in Jesus Christ. He was there when he saved you. He was there when he delivered you. He was there when he healed you. I'm telling you, friend, we can believe in God and we can believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Look, I understand you might be going through a storm. I understand that you might be having a hard time, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Amen. Believe in God. For a few short moments tonight, I want to talk to us about the origin of storms. How are storms caused in our lives? And I would venture to say that there's quite a bit of reasons why we would have storms. Sometimes life just happens. Sometimes things just go on and there's nothing we can do to control it. But more often than not, the reason why we go through storms and consistent storms is because of a few things. Number one, storms are caused by our own mistakes, our own failures, and our own disobedience. Amen. Storms can be caused by our own mistakes, our own failures, and our own disobedience. Amen. Brother Austin, what are you trying to say here? We can turn to the Old Testament and we can read about a prophet by the name of Jonah. Amen. Understand with me, friend, that the Bible says that God spoke to Jonah and told him to go preach in Nineveh. But instead, he turned and went to try to go onto Tarshish. And the Bible says that he went down into Joppa. He purchased a ticket and then he went down into the ship. Let me tell you, friend, just as a sidestep and help us to understand that whenever we disobey God, whenever we mess up, whenever we have failures in our lives, whenever we do not do what God is calling us to do, it will cause us to go down, 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 down. Amen. And understand, friend, that it was the reason of Jonah's mistakes. It was the reason of Jonah's failure. It was the reason of Jonah's disobedience that caused that mighty tempest to come and to shake his life. Understand, friend, there's been times in my own life where I've gone through storms all because I was disobedient. Amen. Listen, when I was a young man, there was something that I got involved in, and nothing horrible, but just something I got involved in. And because of that, I was hindered in the ministry that God has given to me. I wasn't able to be used as much in preaching. I wasn't able to be used as much in youth services. And because of that, I entered into a storm, all because I didn't heed the word of God. Amen. Understand, friend, that storms can be caused by our own mistakes, our own failures, and our own disobedience. But also understand, friend, Jesus would say unto you, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God and believe in me also. What are you saying, Brother Austin? It can turn around. It can turn around if we believe in God and hold on to him and let not our heart be troubled by the things that we've done in our lives. It can be turned around. Amen. Secondly, storms are caused by other people's mistakes, other people's failure, other people's disobedience. Amen. Has anybody ever gone through hardship because somebody around you disobeyed God? Wave at me. Be honest, friend. Amen. There's a few people in here. Storms are caused by other people's mistakes, other people's failures, other people's disobedience. Amen. Brother Austin, where is that in Scripture? You can turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 25, and you will understand that there is some discourse that goes on between Paul and the man that are trying to set sail. And he comes out and he says, sirs, I'm trying to let you know right now, now's not the season for us to go. Now's not the season for us to sail. But they disobeyed God, and they disobeyed. They disobeyed the comment that Paul was trying to say to them, and because of that, all of a sudden we find that Paul was caught up in a storm called Euroclydon, and all hope was seemed to be lost. Is what the Bible says. So understand that we can go through storms because of somebody else's mistakes, somebody else's failures, somebody else's disobedience, and friend, I can say this, there's been times where I've caused my own family to go through a storm, all because I wasn't obedient to the word of God. There's been times I have caused that lady there to go through hardship, all because I wasn't obedient to the word of God. Would to God that we would understand we can go through hardship because of somebody else, but at the same time, we can hold on to this, let not your hearts be troubled, ye believe in God, believe in me also. Just because you're going through hardship, because your brother or your sister messed up in the Lord, does not mean that it's a failure. Amen. Amen. Thirdly, storms, and hear me out, storms are sometimes caused by the direction of God. Amen. Storms are sometimes caused by the direction of God. We read in the New Testament where Jesus just gets done feeding the 5,000. The Bible says that he constrained the disciples to get aboard the ship. And he tells them, he says, I will meet you on the other side. We know the story. The Bible says that he goes up into the mountain to pray. And when he was alone, he began to pray. The Bible goes on to explain to us how after a little while, they've been out in the water for a little while. They've traveled a little bit of a distance. They've gone out there just a little while. All of a sudden, a storm arose in their lives. Amen. So in essence, they were given by the direction of God. And because of the direction of God, they entered into a storm. Amen. Well, how could he do that? Didn't you know that was going to happen? How could he do that? Didn't you know it was going to cause heartache? But at the same time, friend, it doesn't matter what storm you're going through. If it's caused by your own failures and mistakes, if it's caused by someone else's failure and mistakes, or if it's caused by the direction of God, we can say this, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Understand that it doesn't matter what circumstance it is, it still applies. Yes. It still applies. All right. So this is the secret to the success through the storm. Understand that Jesus says these simple words here. He says, let not your heart be troubled. That's kind of hard, ain't it? Amen. That's kind of rough, don't you think? I'm going through the storm of my life and you're saying, don't let my heart be troubled. How does that make any sense? Amen. Peter would write it this way in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Amen. And what he was saying to them, I understand that whenever we talk about being sober, we more often than not, we think about someone who's on alcohol and trying to get off of it. I've been sober for 5 years now. But in all reality, that word sober just simply means to think straight. Amen. And that's essentially what Christ was saying to the disciples. He was saying, don't let your heart be troubled. I understand the storm's going on outside. I understand it's raining outside. I understand the lightning's flashing raging outside. I understand the storm is raging outside, but it don't got to rain in your heart, and it don't have to rain in your mind, and it don't have to storm in your heart, and it don't have to storm in your mind. Understand what he was saying. He said, keep the storm on the outside. Don't let it get in your mind. Don't let it get into your heart, and change the way that you're thinking. Hey, hallelujah. Don't let it change the way that you're thinking. Amen. He says, don't let it change the way that you're thinking. Understand that when Peter writes that there in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, be sober. Amen. He wasn't writing to people who were just going through, well, you know, gas prices are going up and I don't really like the politics and come on now. He was writing to people who were being persecuted. He was writing to people who were suffering physically. He was writing to people who were suffering spiritually. And he writes unto them and says this, be sober. Don't let it get in your mind. Don't let it get in your heart. Think right. Make sure you've got it right. Understand, friend. He would go on to say, think it's not strange when you enter in to the fiery trials, but rejoice knowing that because you are inflicting or because you're going through the pain and the trial, you'll become more and more like Christ. Understand, friend, the same principle applies. When we go through a storm, we can't let it get in our minds. We've got to be like Christ.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. So the storm has to stay on the outside. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Now, I love storms. I mean it. And to be honest with you, I like to see it with, you know, understanding what I'm about to say, I like to see the damage that storms can do. Hear me, okay? I understand people lose their lives. I understand that. That's not what I don't get excited about that. But you mean to tell me that 50-year-old oak tree outside got blown over by wind last night? That's awesome. You know, that's power, man. Didn't even see it coming. You know? Honestly, if we were ever to settle down and I was able to have my choice or have my way, I'll be honest with you, I'd have a front deck that's screened in. I'd be sitting out there in a rocking chair watching storms go by. I love storms. But I'm going to go ahead and let you know this now. When we started living in a camper, I don't like storms. No, sir. The other day, we were down in North Carolina, and there was a storm that was blowing through, and man, I was receiving notifications on my phone for high winds. I was receiving notifications for potential hail and all these different things. And I promise you this, I was pacing back and forth. I was making that rocker, or I was making that camper rock back and forth more than the wind was. Amen. I was so nervous about that storm coming through. And I remember my wife looked at me and said this. She said, Austin, what are you worried about? It's North Carolina. It'll be gone in 30 minutes. Amen. And I thought to myself, no, I checked the weather. It's going to be gone in 2 hours, and we're going to have to endure this. I might have to get hooked up to the truck. I might have to bring in the slides. I was getting nervous. What happened, friend? I let the storm get in my mind, and thus in turn, it changed the way that I reacted. Would to God that we wouldn't let our hearts be troubled. That way, when the storm comes, we can react the way we need to.
Yes, Lord, help us.
True story, I didn't make that up for this message. Amen. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Keep the storm on the outside. Don't let it get inside. Leave it outside where it's supposed to be. Amen. And secondly, he says this. Believe God. Now, I want to take these examples real quick. And I want to show us what believing in God does. So, you have Jonah who entered into a storm, physical storm. And in that physical storm, he entered a spiritual storm as well. And you will read where in the belly of the fish that he contemplates,
and he reasons. And then finally, he surrenders. Or essentially, he's saying, all right, I believe. You read about the disciples, how when they're out there on the sea, and the winds are blowing, and the waves are raging, the Bible says that Jesus came walking on the water. And Peter said, if it be thou, bid me come. We know what happens. Peter steps out on the water, begins to walk to Jesus, gets distracted by what's going on around him, and begins to sink. All of a sudden, Jesus reached down and grabbed him, and he says, oh, ye of little faith. And now watch this. All of a sudden, they get back in the boat, and the Bible says that they said, surely this is the Son of God. Or in other words, they were saying, we believe. Amen. Understand if you read about Paul's account. Understand that when they were going through this heartache, they were throwing things overboard. They were trying to make the ship lighter. And Paul comes out and he says, listen to me, friend. An angel of the Lord came and visited me, and whom I serve, and whom I also believe. He said this to me. We're going to be all right. We're going to be okay. Just believe in God. Everything's going to be fine. Let me tell you, friend, I was once young. Now I'm 27, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've never seen those out needing that God didn't supply. He is sufficient to supply. He is able to take care, and he is able to bring you through the storm.
Yes.
I believe. I believe. Simple. Simple. But how easy is it for us, when we're going through heartache, just let that rain start to touch our mind? How easy is it for us to go through the storm, and that lightning start flashing, and it get into our hearts, and we not react the way that we need to? Understand that spiritual maturity will be shown in hardship. When one is spiritually mature on the mountaintop, praise the Lord. When everything's taken away, praise the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of Understand, friend, as my wife comes to the piano, understand that the way that we react to the issues in our lives doesn't only affect me. It doesn't only affect my family, but it affects the people that I live with, that I'm working with, constantly around. The way that I react can either, one, bring an approach to God, or bring glory to God. Come on now. Amen. Brother Austin, that's hard. I know. I know. I'll be honest with you. Let's check this off. You've gone through any of these storms as I read it? Hold your hand up. 1, 2, 3, okay? Hold on. We'll get there. Someone's like, I've been there. Storms are caused by your own mistakes, your own failures, and your own disobedience. Have you been there? If you have, put this finger up right here. Storms have been caused by other people's mistakes, failures, and disobedience. Storms are caused or have been caused God's direction. We've all had it. If I can be transparent with you tonight, we've been evangelizing for getting ready to go on 2 years now. Now, I'll be honest with you. When we first started doing it,
It won't my cup of tea. I've grown a love for it. You know, I struggle meeting people. That's what my problem is. I'm okay as long as I'm behind a desk or a pulpit. But as soon as I have to get personal with people, I'm like, how's your day today? I like green apples. I'm sorry. I don't know why that just happened. But not too long ago, we were given an offer. I'm not going to say where, not going to say from who, not going to say what it was for. But it was a pretty substantial offer. I mean, it was ideal. I mean, like, if we were going to come off the road, it'd be for that position. We were going to be taken care of financially, week to week, instead of having to think about, hey, I got to try to get some stuff scheduled. To be honest, we love the people. Preached a revival there, had a burden for those people. Seen God help and move on those people. Dug in with those people. Pastor talked to us. He asked us, hey, what do you know, this is what I'm thinking. So I want you to pray about it. I said, I'll give you a call in about a month. I ended up taking a month and a half. By that time, it's getting to be November-ish. I call him. Hey, brother. The more and more that we prayed about this, the more and more I had a burden to evangelize. We're just going to stay on the road. I appreciate your offer. Got off the phone. We still talk. We still, you know, text. We went down there not too long ago. Almost immediately. Man, we went through hardship. We preached a revival down in North Carolina, and man, we had a wonderful revival, but it was like, as soon as that revival was over, man, just everything. We didn't have our camper from October all the way till December. All the meetings that we had scheduled in December got canceled. We all got sick for 2 weeks. Knocked me off my feet. Some different situations went on, and it literally plagued my mind. I believe that I heard the voice of God and saying, keep evangelizing. But why would he cause me to go through the storm? Maybe he was just wanting me to see his right hand. Maybe he was just wanting to see if I trust and believe in him. I'm going to be honest with you, friends. Storms can be scary. But they don't have to be. It says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Peter, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, he'll go on to say, look, what's being accomplished in your brother or what's being accomplished in you is also being accomplished in your brother. So you are not alone. Amen. You're not the only one that's faced this. You're not the only one that's gone through hardship. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Yes, amen. And don't you dare lose faith in God. Amen. You keep holding on. You keep pushing through. It'll come to an end. I can promise you that. If everybody would stand. I know very simple. Very simple words. Very simple thought. But I felt it impressed on my heart tonight to deliver this to you. I don't know who's going to be here tonight. I had a roundabout idea. At the same time, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing.
I'm trying to admonish you and encourage you tonight and help you to understand that you can make it. God never intended for His church to be living defeated. But God's church is a church triumphant. Hallelujah. God's church is a church triumphant. If we're a part of His church, our hearts don't need to be troubled because we believe in God and we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in everything that He's been able to do. We believe in His healing power. We believe in His sustaining power. We believe in Almighty God. And because of that, my heart can be calmed in the worst storm of my life.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Austin, you're beating a dead horse. All right, then. Let's come in and pray. Come on, church. Let's gather in. If you're going through hardship, if you're going through hard times, come pray. Get a hold of God. Ask God to help you, to believe on Him, to help you, to let not your heart be troubled.